Well, welcome to another week here at Bryce as we are continuing to examine these parables and continuing to consider what is within the parables. Just to remind ourselves, each week we want to kind of give ourselves this reminder as we gather together with different folks that as we look at these parables, we're looking at stories that Jesus is telling to communicate a greater point, largely about salvation and about the people and the kingdom of salvation. And so as he's pointing towards these things, he's often pointing towards a message that he's trying to communicate to either his disciples, to a crowd that has gathered around him that contain a mixed group of people, both his disciples, those following his teaching, and also sometimes some of his opponents like the Pharisees. And as he's doing this and as he's trying to communicate a message towards salvation and the coming kingdom of God, we're seeing him teach these stories. And the stories are meant to be to illustrate a larger point, that one who is listening rightly and one who is trying to hear what he has to genuinely say would take from the story properly. And one who is out to hear of what his own desires, maybe we'll miss the point in this. They weren't meant to be the most clarifying thing in the world, but they also were meant to illuminate a greater point. And so today we're going to look at the parable of the dishonest manager. We find this in Luke chapter 16, starting at the beginning of the chapter. And what we'll do is what we're trying to accomplish each week, we're going to look at the story as a whole, and then we'll go through and identify what's happening in the story, and then we'll turn to try to identify, now that we understand what's happening in the story, what is the spiritual point that Jesus is trying to portray within this? What is the greater message that he's trying to do? And we'll do that by both understanding the story and principle. We don't want to take from the story to fit our own narrative. We want to see that this story is being used as it's told to communicate the point. And we don't want to pull the point out of context where it doesn't fit within the rest of Scripture. So we'll take the rest of Scripture to help us identify what is Jesus's larger point. With that in mind, in Luke chapter 16, again, is where we find the parable of the dishonest manager. And this one can be a little bit of a tricky one. At first, we might feel like Jesus is praising this man for his dishonesty. We might read this and think, is Jesus commanding me to do things that don't fit in elsewhere that I find in Scripture? Is this parable in contradiction? And that's where we want to use the context both of what's happening here inside of the story, inside of the story of Luke, and where we want to pull from elsewhere in Scripture to have an understanding of what he is trying to drive to. With that said, let us read in Luke chapter 16, and we'll see this parable here of the dishonest manager. In Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it reads, "He also said to the disciples, 'There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So, summoning his master's debtor, one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." So as we read this here, we see that we have our story, right, of this dishonest manager or this dishonest steward we might be reading, depending on the translation that we're using. And so let's first, before we go any further, before we read any longer into Luke 16 or consider anything outside of it, let's just come to grips with what's happening in our story. So we have a rich man who has many possessions. He has many debtors. And this rich man has a manager, or again, a steward, someone who's overseeing the business in his household. And this man, he finds out the charges were brought against the manager. That this manager, the steward, is wasting what is his. So he's not very good at his job. And as we see in the story, he's likely not only just not very good, he's also quite possibly deceitful about what he's doing. So this rich man, he says, all right, well, you know what? That's going to be the end of my manager in his job. He's going to hit the road. You're fired. Well, when the manager hears that all this is going to happen, he says, hey, look, I am not a guy who can labor, and I am far too proud to go and beg. So what am I going to do when I'm fired from this job? Where am I going to turn? How am I going to provide for myself? And he thinks on his feet and says, you know what I'm going to do? Says, I am not going to go work for my own. And because I'm not going to beg for my own, I'm going to make some friends in high places outside of this house. And so he summons the debtors of this manager, the people or the debtors of his master. And he says to them, hey, how much do you owe my master? Oh, you owe 100 measures of oil. Look, let's see that bill. Let's change that down to 50. Oh, you owe my manager 100 measures of wheat. Let's go ahead and cook the books here. Let's put down 80. His hope is that when he's fired, when he's on the streets, that these people would remember him well. That they would say, oh, you know what? You're the guy who saved me on that bill. You're the guy who lowered my debts. You know what? Hey, why don't you come on in? I owe you one. I'll take care of you. That's his hope, is that by doing this, that he would be able to provide for himself a path forward by making friends in an unrighteous way. He's not faithful to his master. He's not wisely coming up with a plan to get all that his master is owed so that he could win his master back over and keep his job. He's willing to be deceitful and willing to do wrong by his master, all for his own sake, so that when here in the next coming day or two, he's let loose and turned away and lost his job and lost his status, that he can maybe go and find some refuge with one of these people whom he cut a backdoor deal with. So that's the story that we see. Now, the master at the very end of this, he commends the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. He says, look, that wasn't too bad of a plan. It doesn't say that he kept his job. It doesn't say, hey, listen, I'm so glad that you did that. But he does say, boy, that if you were going to do anything that was going to be a trick, that was one way to go about it. You were pretty shrewd in that way. And then Jesus makes the statement that we find in verse 8. He says, for the sons of the world are more shrewd in their dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. So again, we want to take this statement for what it is. Jesus isn't saying, hey, all of you need to be more like this guy. He's just making the point that this guy and the people of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their generation than the people who are the sons of light. We want to be sons of light. Those are the people who are coming and following after Jesus as we see this identity being painted in the rest of the later of the New Testament, as we read in the epistles of Paul and John and Peter, and as we're reading about who are the people in the kingdom of light, the sons of light, the sons of God, those who are adopted and brought into the fold. Those are the people we want to be. Shrewdness to do anything to get yourself a step ahead, to use your wisdom in a negative way, that's not praised. Jesus here is just simply making the statement that the sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Now, his next statement in verse 9 is a declaration of what we want to be doing. But we want to be careful again in our interpretation. What are we trying to understand? The point of what Jesus is making. So let's read verse 9 now. It says, and I tell you, make friends for yourself by the means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. So here's the commandment that he's actually making. Use the things that you have unrighteous wealth. If we compare righteous wealth versus unrighteous wealth, we would probably want to first go back to a place like in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew, when Jesus is talking about possession. And he says, don't store up treasures for yourself here on earth, where they rust and the moths eat them. But store up your treasures in heaven, where they won't rust away and the moths won't consume them. So we see the comparison of what is a failing treasure and what is a righteous treasure. A failing treasure is the treasures of this world. A failing treasure is the things that will pass away, that you can gain and lose at any moment. Treasure stored up in heaven is the eternal treasures, things that actually last, doing the work of the Lord and building up eternal relationship with Him, and then using that new life in Him, using the things that He gives you as the gifts of the Spirit to go and to do work for His kingdom. So, when we read verse 9 and we're considering unrighteous wealth, we're saying, hey, take the things of this world, take your financial gain, use the possessions that you have, use the positions that you have, the things that are of this world, use those and make friends. He's not saying, here we don't see, go and be shrewd, go and be unrighteous. He's saying, use the things that are the unrighteous wealth. Take that and make friends so that when they fail, you may have friendships that are built to last. I want to point out just one more time that in this, he's not calling us to dishonesty. In this, he's not calling us to deal shrewdly. He's calling us to use the things of this world to build friendship. If there's anything from the story, the parable of the dishonest manager, that we want to take away, it's that he was using the things of this world to build a friendship. Now, he was doing so wrongly. He was doing so shrewdly. We don't want to follow in the fullness of his plan. But the big picture of what he was trying to accomplish is the point in which Jesus is pointing to. Take the resources of this world and use them to build upon relationship. What might this look like? Well, this might look like saying, hey, I have got financial security, and so I'm going to use some of my money to bring friends along with me on trips. I'm going to use this sweet side-by-sider or my nice bass boat to take a friend out on the lake or take the friend out on the trails, and we're going to enjoy relationships together. We're going to use that time to develop relationships, because the day may come where I don't have this anymore, but that person is going to remember the friendship and the relationship that we built, and they're going to continue to live on in it because I displayed a real care. This can look like saying, hey, I'm going to take my time and my resources to invest in these people in even a greater way than just fun. I'm going to help contribute to their needs. I'm going to help contribute to the people around them. I'm going to help them in their time where they're coming and calling on me to step into the fold for them. And they're going to recall that. We want to be faithful in what we've been given, but we want to use it in such a way that develops long-term relationships. And ultimately, not just developing long-term relationships for ourselves, but as he goes to say that this is looking towards the eternal, that I'm using my time and I'm using my resources to point people not just towards a friendship now, but a brotherhood, a sisterhood rooted in Christ. That we're looking towards an eternal perspective, using this to point people back towards Christ. That within our friendship, it has a gospel intention in it. That we might both become believers, adopted sons, adopted daughters within the Lord, living as these sons of light. Because that's who we want to be. If we were to continue reading what we haven't read so far, picking back up in Luke 16, starting at verse 10, he says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give to you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. His intention here is, and notice, he doesn't say that you cannot serve God and money in the way to say that you must hate money and it has to be entirely out of your life. But you have to have one master. You can't serve two masters. So is God your master, or is the things of this world, the unrighteous wealth, your master? For the servant that we read about here in Luke 16 in the parable, the money and the things were his master. He was doing all to try to come back to that. But in the point to which Jesus is trying to draw us to, we've been given the unrighteous wealth. Will we be faithful to use that into a gospel mission so that we can serve God? The idea that we want to have in our hands is, or maybe to say the idea we want to have in our minds is open-handedness. That we are a servant. It isn't ours. As it says there in verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give to you that which is your own? In this time now, we are stewards of everything that God has. It is all his. He's putting it into our hands to be a steward over. And so are we open-handed stewards who are holding open-handedly the things of this world that he's putting in our hands, and we're ready to redistribute them because it's an open hand. We're not clutching on. We're holding it up. We're using it wisely, but allowing him, first and foremost, to take and to give whatever he feels is right in that moment. We're open-handed. Or are we open-handed and we're ready to take and to give, and more so give to the people of the world when they're in need? That is open-handed. Rather than to say, oh, I have all these riches in my hand and I'm going to clutch them like death because I couldn't possibly lose it. I need this. It has to be mine, and I can't bear to give it up. That's not the kind of steward we want to be. We want to be open-handed. We want to use the things that God has entrusted into our life wisely and well, ready to redistribute them, ready to give it out as needed, ready for all of this to be towards gospel purpose, not just financial gain. So as we look at the parable of this unrighteous steward, what we're considering is we are considering this dishonest manager not for the fullness of his plan, but we're considering him for the big picture of his plan, that he would try to use the things of this world to create friendship. And what we are called to do is use the things of this world to create eternal treasure, to create a relationship that goes beyond just give and take and business matters, but to create real, lasting, impactful, Christ-centered, gospel-focused friendships that have eternal lasting, that have eternal purpose. That's what we're called to do. So as we consider this parable, as we consider this teaching from Jesus, it takes us a moment to step back, because at first, again, we might think, oh, is he calling me to be shrewd? But no, we can see that he's making an observation that the people of this world are shrewd, but we are distinguished from the people of this world as the sons of light. So what are the sons of light doing? They are shrewd in the way that they are working towards eternal gain, not worldly gain. They're willing to sacrifice and offer up the worldly gain as a good manager so that they might build up heavenly treasure. They might build up the number of the people who we find in our relationships there in heaven. So I encourage us, as we consider this today, I encourage us to think about two chief things. Consider, what kind of steward am I? Am I an open-handed or a close-handed steward? Am I someone who is ready to freely receive from the Lord and freely give for the Lord? Am I ready to offer it all up to him? Am I ready to offer it all to someone else for his name's sake, for the good of that person? Because I recognize, just as he put it in my hands, he is rightly able to take it out, and he is just to do so. It's his. I'm just holding it. Or are those things, are they becoming the actual master of our life and our heart? Do we hold tight to them and we're unwilling to pass away from it because we are starting to see it, even if we won't admit it, we're starting to see it as the thing that dominates our life. It's the thing at which we idolize. It's the thing at which we live for. We don't wake up and think about, man, what can God do today? We wake up and think, man, what can I do to make more today? How can I have more worldly gain today? And that's where we're missing the point when we're in that place. So the first thing I want us to consider is, what kind of manager am I? Am I open-handed or am I close-handed? And then the second thing I want us to consider is, what am I trying to build up here? Am I trying to build up eternal relationships and eternal treasure, or am I building up my treasure here on earth? We could be open-handed and still be focused on worldly gain. We could be super generous with our time and our resources, but have no gospel aim. It could be all about trying to build up things here and now, trying to impress people here and now, trying to gain favor here and now, with no thought about the kingdom to come. With no thought about becoming the sons of light. And if that's the case, we're still missing the point. If that's the case, we're using the unrighteous wealth to develop unrighteous wealth, rather than what he called us to use this unrighteous wealth to build towards eternal dwelling. That's what we want to be building for. And so I encourage you, as we go from here and as we close this time together now, that's where our minds are considering. That we look at our own life and we put it in perspective, and we're willing to be honest about the kind of people that we are and the kind of mission that we have. Because we want to be open-handed managers with eternal gospel focus. Let's pray.